I want to make a small confession this morning. I had a wonderful time at kids camp. It was a great time. I was very proud of the way that our leaders from North Fairfield handled themselves. Sandy and Dennis did a great job with all that they handled, and Brian Carpenter now is one of the state leaders in that, and we're just really grateful for that. What I didn't realize was that on my invitation of going up there, I was considered a staff person for kids camp, and with that came special privileges. And so one of the privileges that I had was the use of the golf cart. And there's a rule with the golf cart that I was not familiar with, but the rule is this: no kids get to ride on the golf cart. So I was hauling kids around one day on the golf cart, and I had the golf cart that somebody had sort of souped up a little bit. I did not have anything to do with that, by the way, but I was riding it nonetheless. I had a bunch of kids with me, four or five kids, and came down a little hill, and when I came up the berm, one of the golf cart wheels came off the ground and come back down. It was no danger of anything happening there, but one of the counselors, or one of the chaperones there, saw this, and she was just livid, and I was trying to calm her down, and she did not want any part of being calmed down. And no sooner did she left my vicinity, she went right to Sandy Bonds, and she started telling about this guy on the golf cart. And you need to do something about it. And just 2 seconds later, I come pulling up in the golf cart, and she's pointing at me. That's him. And she says, "He's my pastor. I can't do anything." Which is not true, by the way, because she's teased me profusely about it. But I want to just say that if you have an opportunity to serve in some capacity in these camps, these mission trips that we go on, it's a wonderful thing. It means a lot to the children. We saw 5 decisions for Christ. You get to interact with some of the younger folks here at the church in ways that you just typically don't on Sunday morning. I watched Josh Inman. We were having an archery contest, and he walked up. He had been practicing all week, and there was some straw and hay on the ground. And this was the day of the competition. He walked up and picked a straw up and just dropped it down to see which way the wind was blowing. And his first shot, if I remember correctly, was right in the bullseye. He just did a great job. And it was just neat to see different kids doing different things. Eli was leading a lot of prayers, and it was just good. So next year, if you have the opportunity to go, I would challenge you to go. I plan on going next year, Lord willing. All right, so we're going to talk this morning about the Lord's Supper. And here at this church, we do have an open communion. Now, what do we mean by the expression of open communion? Well, open communion means this: if you are a part of the body of Christ, if you have been born again, you've been scripturally baptized, and you're in a good relationship with God right now through His Son, Jesus Christ, then we are open to you participating in this. If you feel like you don't want to, that's certainly fine. But if you're a born-again believer and you have been scripturally baptized, my friend, you are welcome to participate in this commemorative meal here today. For 2 years now, almost 2 years, I have been working in these communion services, these Lord's Supper services, looking at Old Testament principles that sort of outline the thing that communion represents. And there's a lot of different things it does represent. And I believe it's given us a greater understanding of why we do this in remembrance of Him. Now, we're doing this in remembrance of Him today. Now, we have 3 words in the sermon title today, and those 3 words are broken, blessed, and please. Now, each of those words represent something that is foundational to us having a good understanding of what communion is about. This is a celebration, and probably the next time that we focus on the communion message in another quarter, we're going to look at the aspect of joy. But today, we want to look at these 3 words and realize what they represent. Now, listen carefully. Brokenness, that represents Christ. The blessed represents our position with God. And the please gives the attitude that God has toward us because of what has been accomplished. So you'll notice that word broken. That's our first word that we're going to look at. And I want you to understand that the Bible does say that not a bone in his body was broken. That's very vivid, very well illustrated in the Bible. And we're not saying that anything was broken in the physiology of Christ's body, but there was a brokenness of the spirit because the weight of the sin that you and I have committed, unrepented and repented for that matter, was placed upon him as a substitutionary act. So I want us to look at Matthew, the 26th chapter. I hope you find that in your Bible. And I'm going to make some running comments on it as we move on to the passages here that we have before us. Now, let me read just the first few words from the 26th verse of the 26th chapter. And as they were eating. Now, friends, listen. This was just a part of the process that they were going through to have really a religious ceremony that recognizing what they were doing for Passover. So as they were eating, Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the Passover meal in a room somewhere in Jerusalem. There's some that say they know where it is. I personally don't think anybody really knows where it is, but it was somewhere in Jerusalem. And it tells us that Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you." Now, let me point out to you, these were the common elements of a meal that day. Bread and grape juice or wine or fruit of the vine, however you want to term it. These are common elements of a meal that day, and he's going to show us something here. He's going to show us that the significance is not in the elements, okay? The significance is what they represent. It doesn't, it's not in the power of what we have before us today. It is in the power of what he has done. Now, verse 28 says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, let me give you some insight. Communion, Lord's Supper, is something that we do over and over again. But it's something that, in reality, does not have to be done over and over again to maintain position with God. See, we have a once-and-for-all salvation, not a once-upon-a-time salvation, a once-and-for-all salvation. So what we're doing is not to maintain a position with God. We're doing this because we're in close relationship with God. We're remembering what he has done for us, and because of that, we're guided by the Holy Spirit in our life, and just all of these things meet together. And then in verse 30, it says, they just simply did this. Sung a hymn. They went out to the Mount of Olives. So now may God bless the reading and the hearing and the preaching of his word today. So this is a revelation that's basically given here. Just common elements of a meal that day. And Christ is saying there's some significance here. Well, I want us to focus on Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, because it really paints the picture of the significance behind some of the things that Christ is saying here. If you go to the 53rd chapter, and here's how we're going to do this today. We want this to be introspective. We want you to reflect on some things. So I'm not going to make a bunch of comments here today. We're going to look at the word broken, and we're going to read the scriptures, and then we're just going to bow our heads. We're going to silently pray. And I want you to think about, as we look at broken today, as we read this part of the scripture, he was broken for you. Whatever that you have done wrong, whatever you have done and you've never asked for forgiveness for, whatever you have done and you have asked forgiveness for, but the devil keeps bringing it back up to you, listen, that was for you. He was broken for you. So, you know, whatever you want to name, whatever's out there, that lie that you told, it's broken for that. That indiscretion that you had, now he was broken for that. cheating on your taxes? Well, he was broken for that. So let's read what Isaiah paints here. Here's what the Word of God says. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dried ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. So every head bowed, every eye closed. And let's silently pray for a few moments here this morning as we reflect on that. One of the things that kept coming back to my mind and my memory is that I'm forgiven because of what he has done. I hope, friend, you came to that conclusion as well. Let's talk about this idea of blessed. Okay, he's broken, and the whole idea about being forgiven there is in that idea of blessed as well. So let's read verses 4 all the way down to verse 9. Here's what it says. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep as it shears before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Let's bow our heads again. And friend, I want you to reflect upon in a few moments, laying this out for us, how blessed you are by being a child of God. Let's pray. Finally this morning, pleased. These two things pleased God. Here's what it says in verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercessions for the transgressors. So when God looks at us, friend, and he realized that we've identified with Christ, we've asked him to be our Lord and Savior, he's pleased. He's pleased because the Son fulfilled all that was needed. Everything that was needed for us to enter into heaven was done by one single solitary person. That's Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Him and him alone. And because of that, he's pleased. He's pleased not only with his Son, but listen, with you here today, he's pleased with you. He wants us to make decisions on our own. He wants us to look toward him and ask for guidance. But, I mean, he's given us enough gray matter to be able to delineate what right is, what wrong is, what good is, what bad is. And so today, my friend, if you're making those good choices, number one choice, being a born-again Christian. Number two choice, trying to do your best to live for him. When he looks at you, he sees he's pleased. He's pleased. So let's bow our heads for one final thought in this short, short sermon today. And think about that word, pleased. Is God pleased with you? Are you obedient to him right now? Let's pray. We're going to ask our deacons to come forward at this time. We're going to have a word of prayer. So let's all stand. And what we want to do here, if there's any need here today, before we go into communion service, we're going to have one final prayer on this matter. If you want to come to the altar and pray, you're certainly welcome to. If you don't have a right relationship with Christ today, would be the perfect day to establish that. You know, we've talked about the whole idea of being broken. He was broken for you. You're blessed because of what he's done if you've accepted him. If you've not accepted him, the Bible tells us that you are condemned. The word condemned is not a nice word. It means that judgment has already been passed upon you. In fact, if you were to die today without trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior, my friend, the only place that you're going to open your eyes is a place that's called hell. Now, that's a reality. You say, how can a loving God do that? How can a loving God let you escape by not following through with what he's just laid out? The simple plan of salvation. Recognizing that you can't save yourself. Trusting his free pardon of sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't do that, my friend, then quite frankly, you know, God is not obliged to you in any way, shape, or form. He's not. He's done it all already. You're trying to do it yourself. So why don't you trust him today? There may be Christians here today. Maybe there's some things in your life that you need to repent of right now. Why don't you do that? I wouldn't take this meal today if I didn't feel that my relationship with God and his Son was in a good place. So if it's not in a good place today, make it good today. Come to this altar and pray. As we bow for prayer again, Father, again, we thank you for your love, for your provision. And Lord, we pray that during this invitation time that you would give it through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we ask these things in Christ's name, amen. Anyone want to come forward to pray right now Tony plays softly. Please come. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians is given something by God, and we looked at it in Matthew, the 26th chapter. Paul gives this insight from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 20 through 26. These are wonderful words. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" You know, friends, this says to us that there's joy ahead. So whatever you're going through right now, and believe me, I know that there are problems out there in every one of our lives. Do you know what this says? Joy's around the corner. Praise God for that. Amen? Amen. Isn't that wonderful to think about that? We're going to ask our deacons to come and to read. For those of you who have not been to one of our communion services, we have a responsive reading that we go. I'll start off with a few words. Then you'll see on the screen, after what I say as the pastor, what we would like you to respond with before we take the bread. But I'm reminded of the body of Christ with this. And small, really insignificant, sort of represents manna in the Old Testament, the small, round, white thing. Of course, these are not round. But the significance is not in the bread. The significance is what the body of Christ did for us. Every single thing that should have been punished in your life, he bore. And if you've ever read descriptions of crucifixion, it's just horrifying. It's beyond what any human being should ever endure. And he endured that for you. So, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, look at the cup, and then the New Testament tells us it is fruit of the vine, representing his blood that was shed for us. See, it wasn't enough that sin was punished. It had to be forgiven. Once a crime is done, even though the crime has been punished, there still has to be payment for what has happened. And this was the payment for all that we've ever done wrong. So, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, and all God's people said, read this morning that after the meal had concluded, it tells us that he went out and they went out to the Mount of Olives and sung a hymn. So today we wanted to stand. Conclusion of this meal, we want to do the same. Today as we close out, for I have a brief prayer here, we're going to receive an offering for our benevolence fund. There'll be some folks stationed, some of our ushers will be stationed at some of the different exits here, and this benevolence fund allows our deacons to help minister to some families within the congregation typically that need some help here and there. And so maybe someday, God forbid, but you may need that help. And if you can help at this time, it would be a great thing. And our deacons do a great job, and I thank you for not only what you have done this morning, but the real gifts of service that you give to this church and to your Father in heaven each and every week. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for love, for provision, for your word is able to make us wise unto salvation as a lamp unto our feet. We ask, Father, for your blessings on what we have been a part of today. For some, I hope and pray, Father, just the reflection of being blessed because of your brokenness will be very vivid in their life and realize that Christ was obedient, that pleased you. When we are obedient, it pleases you. And whether we're obedient or not, it never changes the fact that we are your son, we're your daughter, but it certainly can estrange the relationship. So we pray, Father, that cold and indifference has subsided this morning. We walk out here better because we've been here, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.